Now, the PM General Election 2015 Chris Mason Desk of Election News with Chris Mason. Tonight, with Chris Mason.
We start tonight with a purveyor of white jasmine and mint body cream.
I have never put my head above the parapet in politics in this way before.
And your worldly political correspondent had never heard of Jo Malone until today.
I feel so utterly passionately that not just myself, but all those 760,000 businesses that have spent the last 3 years running a marathon to create secure businesses and secure jobs, and I see that a changing government would put that all into jeopardy.
Perhaps David Cameron's been whiffing some of Joe's lime, basil and mandarin scent diffusers, if that's what they're called, and that's given him a bit of oomph.
Do we waste 5 years of hard work and sacrifice? That is the choice. And if I'm getting lively about it, it's because I feel bloody lively about it. That's the truth. Yes.
All this as the Conservatives trumpet a letter signed by 5,000 small businesses saying the Tories are great. But Andrew Neil on BBC Two's Daily Politics has been doing a spot of research.
Number 13 on this list doesn't actually own a single shares in the company that you've associated. Number 23 on the list, who's an associate of this company, but isn't a director and doesn't own any shares. Number 39, name somebody not a director or a shareholder. One of the signatories is down as Stanley Ward Conservative Club.
And so, Andrew suggests,
it's a shambles.
The reality is that very large numbers of small business people are supporting the Conservative Party.
The Treasury Minister, David Gawk, there. Now, what would you call the leader of the Liberal Democrats?
Frankly, you could call me Mary Jane. It would be all the same to me.
We might just hold you to that. To the East Midlands, where the Conservatives have suspended one of their candidates for Derby City Council after she wrote on Facebook that she could never respect Ed Miliband because he was Jewish. Gulzabeen Afsar wrote that she could never drop so low as to support the Al-Yahud, the Arabic term for Jew. Next, and Labour's Chukwuma Muna and his claim that a virus of racism runs through UKIP. Nigel Farage says,
I think they're deplorable comments, but I'm not surprised that he's made them. Labour are running scared. They can see in the opinion polls there is now a shift. There is now a move of Labour voters towards UKIP, and it's Labour, it's people like Mr. Amuna, whose policies of open-door immigration have done so much to hurt the lives of ordinary working people.
Meanwhile, Ed Miliband's been talking about housing.
We'll stop tax avoidance by landlords, which HMRC estimates is over £500 million a year. We'll crack down on rogue landlords who claim tax relief and people also who buy property through corporations in order to avoid stamp duty. And we will increase stamp duty by at least 3% for people who come and buy properties in this country from overseas outside the European Union.
He also said in his speech in Stockton-on-Tees that a Labour government would exempt first-time buyers in England, Wales and Northern Ireland from paying stamp duty when buying homes costing less than £300,000. We'd be more radical, says the Green leader Natalie Bennett. Oh, and have a guess as to why she later cancelled her engagements today.
What we've seen is a huge rise in many parts of the country where people are really struggling to survive, struggling to pay the rent. What we need to do is go back to thinking of these homes as places to live. We've lost 1.5 million homes to right to buy. We want to end right to buy.
Time to hit the lozenges, I think. Anyway, back to the Liberal Democrat leader.
Frankly, you could call me Mary Jane. It'd be all the same to me.
Well, we'd like to stick to formality and rectitude here on the desk of news, so we'll stick to Nick, if you don't mind. That was Mr Clegg on the Jeremy Vine show on Radio 2 at lunchtime, insisting he's not drawn by glitzy titles like Deputy Prime Minister. But he says his party does have some non-negotiables if they hold the balance of power again.
I can tell you that what would be an absolute deal-breaker for us is that we would not accept, as Liberal Democrats, under any circumstances, the cuts to nurseries and schools and colleges, to education, that both the Conservative and the Labour parties have now announced. We would not accept that under any circumstance. That would be a deal-breaker. We would insist that there is a proper protection for the money going to nurseries, schools and colleges in any parliament of which the Liberal Democrats are a part. And if we don't get that, he wouldn't enter into the coalition in the first place.
In other words, to fish from the dictionary of Westminster clichés, yes, it's a well-stocked pond, that, you know, this is a red line. But hang on, Mr Clegg, why on earth should we trust you, given what happened to that promise you made about university tuition fees in England?
Because it is on the front page of our manifesto. We've been very clear that it is It is a priority from which we will not flinch, as we didn't last time either. We didn't, as it happens, have tuition fees on the front page of our manifesto. That is not absolving me from the controversy around that, but we actually did stick religiously to the front page priorities.
Oh, and potentially good news for Mr Clegg reaches the desk courtesy of the Western Gazette in Somerset and Dorset. Remember Paul the Octopus, who predicted World Cup games a couple of years ago? Well, sadly, he's no longer around, but the paper reports that Weymouth Sea Life Adventure Park has conducted an entirely scientific experiment involving two seals, Smarty and Starburst. They were presented with pictures of Messrs Cameron, Clegg and Miliband and were told they definitely had a favourite. They slithered and wobbled in the direction of the Lib Dem leader. One even offered him a kiss. We end tonight with an insight into Ed Miliband's childhood ambitions, courtesy of the election campaign Question of the Day from school pupil Nelson Driscoll.
What did you want to do when you were seven?
I'll answer that one directly. I wanted to be a bus conductor, and I'll tell you why. Because on the London buses, there used to be these things where you used to kind of turn around the ticket machine, and I was particularly fascinated by that.
Yes, you and me both, Ed. Have a good evening.